This podcast is brought to you with limited interruption by Rudy Luther Toyota. Whether looking for an exciting brand new Toyota, a certified pre-owned vehicle, or getting quality routine maintenance and service for your vehicle, Rudy Luther Toyota is the place to go. Rudy Luther Toyota, the southeast corner of 394 and 169 in Golden Valley. Broadcasting around the Civic Media Radio Network on your Wednesday. It's the Matt McNeil Show. Good to be with you today. Matt and Brett, Jeff Stein will join us to talk about the national politics scene. It depends on where you're at. You either have a mixed bag if you're listening to us right now in Wisconsin. Some positive, some negative. We'll talk about that. In Minnesota, it's rainbows and freaking puppy dogs over here, man. Oh, God. Wow. I'll start with Minnesota. I'll just be really brief because I'm going to talk about it a lot in the 4 o'clock hour. Minnesota, it was clear something was going on. I remember probably it was late August, early September. I was watching CNN and some guy was on, one of their hosts was on. And he made the following statement. He said, now that abortion's a back burner issue, people are going to focus on the economy and inflation, and that's what's going to be the decider. And I said, what? Wait a second. When did abortion become a back burner issue? And it was weird because in the next two or three days, across multiple formats and multiple different networks and print and TV and radio, I heard news people say basically, well, now that the outrage over Roe v. Wade being overturned has now started to dissipate, people look to what's the issue going to be for November. And it was pretty clear to me what was going on was some level of coordination where the Republicans were going around and convincing people, whether they were directly doing it or trying to indirectly do it, that this was not an issue because they must have had numbers which showed if they don't get these people who are mad about Roe v. Wade out of the way, they're going to have not a great weekend, a great election, I should say. I'll go a little further and I'll say that the MAGA thing doesn't play nearly as well as they think it does in the Twin Cities metro and suburban area. I'll talk more about that later, but everything in the state was won by the Democrats in Minnesota. Everything. The governor's race, lieutenant governor, the attorney general, Keith Ellison, who was I'll go through these numbers in the 4 o'clock hour once again. Even Democrats had written him off. Julie Blaha, the state auditor, wins. Steve Simon wins as Secretary of State. The Democrats pick up both the Minnesota House and the Minnesota Senate. Have we had the Republican Party of Minnesota yet, who early this year when they had agreements on some of these spending bills, which the Republicans at that point thought they were going to waltz to victory this, November, they basically walked away from the table. Have we had the Republican Party of Minnesota say, hey, guys, hey, we're ready to compromise now before this next session starts. Why don't you call a special session? We'll quickly pass all those bills. It would be great. Don't do it. Governor Walz, don't do it, man. Don't do it. Don't do it. They walked away from those deals. They now have to deal with this because the Democrats will be able to basically write the legislation and spend that money that we have as they see fit. You know, I'm sorry. I think you've made the deal. They're done. It's time to move forward. Wisconsin. Let's take some time and break down what happened here. Now, once again, there is definitely some positives. Tony Evers winning as the governor once again. Michaels was kind of a horrible candidate. I mean, the thing that did him in was that video of him saying that if I'm elected, Republicans will never lose another election ever again. I mean, there really is a evil dictator element to the Republican Party of Wisconsin. There really is this. I'll get to them lamenting and about how, you know, how dare you? You don't let us have one party rule. I mean, they're furious about this. I'll get to that. I will say, though, I don't know what to think about a lot of people in Wisconsin. 3 Second Johnson, who said he was only thinking of overturning the government and throwing the government under the bus for a few seconds. Good old 3 Second Johnson. Ron Johnson wins re-election. There are an insane amount of people in Wisconsin who will tell you to your face the following statement. Because I feel that the Democrats are going to destroy America, I'm eagerly voting for a guy who tried to actively destroy America. Yeah, you did. And shame on you. No, seriously, shame on you. He tried to overthrow the government. He tried to overthrow the government of the United States. He should be in chains, being prosecuted as a traitor to this country. And don't give me this thing about the Democrats. No, no, no. You had a great candidate there in Mendel Barnes. You had a great candidate. What you had is you're all a bunch of freaking brainwashed fools who sit there and believe the right-wing media when they say, well, I'd better vote for the Republican because the Democrats are these evil demon zombie vampire creatures who are going to suck my blood at night. And they're for comprehensive education policy. You know, you're dumb enough to believe this. I want to make sure you understand, when you voted for Ron Johnson, you were probably one of these Republicans that sat there and said, I'm going to stop the Democrats from potentially trying to destroy American government by voting for someone who actively tried to destroy the American government. You can't make it up. You can't make it up. Van Orden winning. God. Van Orden or Van Orden or Orden? Orden? Orden. Orden, right?
Van something.
Orden, yeah. Orden, Orden. It's Mr. Orden. Or Van Orden, Orden.
Van insurrectionist or
Van jackass, I don't know. Orden, Orden. There it is. It'll come out eventually. But then came I saw this story. This is on Milwaukee Sentinel. Story that's kind of made me chuckle. Now, I'm happy because the Republicans, people don't understand how badly the Republicans gerrymandered this state. And I get it. I feel sorry for Wisconsin. I wish we could go back to 2010 when Minnesota had basically the same thing on the line, but we had a third party candidate that was just strong enough to take away enough votes from Tom Emmer at that point. Yes, that Tom Emmer, and hand the governor's race to Mark Dayton. And what ended up happening was Wisconsin had little Scotty Walker came on in. And the craziness ensued. There was a chance that the Republicans, as a minority party, would be able to have a super majority to override the vetoes of the governor. Now, that did not happen. Republicans came up short in their quest for a super majority in the state legislature on Tuesday, which would have given lawmakers the power to override Tony Evers' vetoes. Assembly Republicans needed to flip 5 seats and Senate Republicans needed to flip 1. On Tuesday, Senate Republicans flipped the 1 seat they needed in far northwestern Wisconsin, where Romaine Quinn will replace Democratic Senate Minority Leader Janet Buley, who did not seek re-election. In the assembly, Republicans flipped just 3 seats. 2 were in northwestern Wisconsin. And then it was Angie Sapik replaces the outgoing state senator Nick Milroy. In eastern Waukesha County, Republican Tom Machante replaced Democratic Sarah Rodriguez, who was elected to lieutenant governor on Tuesday. The district was redrawn to be a Republican district, which is why Rodriguez ran for lieutenant governor. With Eager's winning election on Tuesday and the GOP still having a legislative majority, the next 4 years will likely mean continued stalemate between the governor's office and legislature. Eager said vetoed more bills than any governor before him, symbolizing the bitter divisions that have defined the state house in recent years. And by the way, it should be noted, the reason why is because the Republicans in the assembly and the Senate basically say, you'd better do what we say or else. And Evers has the guts to look at them and say, okay, or else. What was the line from how Voss was so upset? Voss was so upset about, oh, well, it's just a shame we can't have one party rule in this state. Ah, Jesus. Dear Lord, man. Do you even hear you guys? Do you guys even hear yourselves at times? Do the Republicans in Wisconsin even hear themselves? Why don't we have an authoritative one-party state where we can basically crush everyone's dreams with our agenda? In the weeks leading up to the midterm election, Republicans signaled they were eager to bring back bills Evers vetoed, including legislation that would add new restrictions on voting practices and curtail public school officials' abilities to set their own curriculum, you know. The dumb stuff that Republicans do. Needless to say, that's not going to happen. I guarantee you all the Democrats will vote in unison, and you're going to have to work with Evers, and you don't want to. And you see, and this is the problem that Wisconsin has got, is that you've got – they eagerly embrace the idea of whether it's Van Orden out there – Orden. He basically embracing the idea that – Democrats are not patriotic and they're not Christian. And Michael's out there saying, we'll never lose another election again if you make me governor. And these guys saying, why can't we have the joy and dignity and the freedom of one party ruling over all of you? You know, that's, they don't even hear themselves anymore. They don't even hear themselves. And it's because they have fixed the system so much, there are zero consequences for their actions. Once again, every time there's a Supreme Court seat up in that state, you guys have got to get out there and vote. And because they can't stop the statewide votes. They cannot do that as much as they'd like to. Ron Johnson, God, how in the world? You guys, come on, you should be embarrassed. Some other thoughts from them yesterday as well when we come back. It's the Matt McNeil Show. Broadcasting live on Bull Falls Radio, WXCO 98.9 FM and 1230 AM in Wausau, Lake Eyre, WXCE 1260 in Amory, and locally grown radio, WFHR 1320 AM and 97.5 FM in Wisconsin Rapids, Stevens Point, as well as on the flagship at AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota in Minneapolis, St. Paul. It is the Matt McNeil Show for your Wednesday post-election day. Stein here in about 15 minutes to talk about some of the other things that happened yesterday. They're clearly it was interesting to watch some of the national pundits talk. They said, well, no one expected the independents to break with the Democrats, that wasn't there. And basically they acted surprised that abortion was that the fact that they had actually taken a right away from people was enough to get them to the polls. I think that it's. Just do they not realize what they did? I guess they just don't realize what they did. That they didn't think that there was going to be any consequences for this. And quite literally, abortion has become the issue that Republicans are desperately now trying to get away from. An example, five states yesterday, five of them had abortion issues on the ballot. Kentucky. They had a bill. No amendment would state that an amendment would state that there is no right to abortion or any requirement to fund abortion in the state constitution. So basically, this was a yes to basically make sure abortion was illegal in Kentucky. It failed. No one. 52-47. That's in freaking Kentucky. That's not exactly liberal blue territory. Freaking Kentucky. Vermont. I love the Vermont map. There's not a single speck of red on that map. It's just all blue. A proposal would create constitutional right to personal reproductive autonomy. That was Vermont. Of course that passed. 77-22. Dear Lord. Michigan. The proposal would create a state constitutional right to reproductive freedom, including decisions about all matters relating to pregnancy, such as abortion and contraception. So you have the right now. Michigan, 56-43, overwhelming. And by the way, note that if you look at the map, some of the deepest blues are where Michigan and Michigan State are. Those colleges turned out in mass for that issue. Montana, of course, they have to try to write this in the most, you know, kind of, we gotta go out there and make people guilty for voting against it. So it's called the Born Alive Infants Regulation. This is Montana. Now, the last time I checked, Montana is not exactly the bluest state in the nation. I really don't think. The measure would enact a law making any infant born alive at any gestation age a legal person, a protection which already existed under a federal law passed 20 years ago. It would criminalize health care providers who do not make every effort to save the life of an infant born during an attempted abortion or after labor or C-section. Doctors say they're concerned that the law will limit care for infants who are born but will not survive. It failed. No was the answer there. In Montana, 52-47. And then, of course, do I even have to mention California? The state constitution would be amended to protect a person's reproductive freedom in the most intimate decisions, including the right to an abortion and contraceptions. Yes, passed 65-35. There was a very – and I'll talk to Stein a little bit about this. There was a few Republican pundits have already made the point this morning, particularly here in Minnesota where they kind of got clobbered. And they said, you cannot run on abortion ever. That this issue needs to disappear from the Republican tentpole because you will not win with that issue. You can't even suggest, well, we'll basically have some sort of compromise. No. You have made women furious, and a lot of men, too, furious. And it cost you. It cost you big across the country. I mean, the reminder, yesterday morning, most of the news media in this country was making the comment about red wave coming. It's going to be a clobbering. Boy, the Republicans are going to dominate. The question is, will just Joe Biden quit at the end of today? And that same news media is all of a sudden saying, what do you know? The Democrats won. Yeah, they did. And they didn't win universally. But reminder, this was supposed to be a midterm election. This is supposed to be 40, 50 seats flipping hands to the Republicans. The Republicans were supposed to take the Senate. That every House race was going to go to the Republicans. Every state house was going to go to the Republicans. Every governorship was going to go to the Republicans. These ballot initiatives were going to be slam dunk easy passes. And they basically, they got a few wins. The House is definitely going to go back to the Republicans unless something miraculous happens. The U.S. House is going to go back to the Republicans. The Senate is... It, to be determined, but it very likely could be the same Senate breakdown as it was before this. And the reason why this red wave didn't happen is because regardless of how much you have, and there might be some very legitimate arguments on inflation and the economy, but you do not have an issue there which is resonating that offsets taking away women's rights. You just do not. And, you know, this is a problem for the Republicans. I've even seen some Republicans make the argument that the reason why they didn't win is because Trump started to poke his head back up again, that the feeling is MAGA was a one-time deal, was a successful winning campaign strategy in 2016. It did not work in 2018. It did not work in 2020. And it did not work in 2022. And the fear they have is that if they try to break out the classic hits in 2024 and go MAGA, that they're going to get clobbered again. Now, I don't know what this means for DeSantis because DeSantis is trying to be MAGA. But if anyone thinks the next 2 years with the Republicans controlling the House maybe the Senate by one vote, we have to see how that happens, is going to be somehow some easy cakewalk when you're going to have that party being ripped apart, and I do mean ripped apart, by pro-Trump Republicans and, you know, anti-MAGA Republicans. I guarantee you, when Marjorie Taylor Greene comes in there and say, I want to impeach Joe Biden, I'm going to guess 20 Republicans are going to say no, and that's going to be enough to kill that right there. They're going to, that's going to begin the entire, yeah, you're not really a Republican. I'm really the Republican. Like drunk sorority girls in a bar. I'm really the real Republican. You're not the real Republican. I'm going to hit you. I hate you. Oh, that's my drink. Yeah, that's there, Marjorie Taylor Greene, folks. break down the national results with Stein when we do return. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. It's the Matt McNeil Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Jeff Stein's our national and presidential expert, noted author. You find his books over at your favorite book retailer, totallyiowa.com as well. The Iowa Business Report and the Iowa Politics Report come to us from KXEL in Cedar Falls, Waterloo. Hi, Jeff.
How do you think the Millers will do this next season?
Well, they're not that – I don't think too well, since they haven't played a game in 47 years or something like that. So hopefully
– undefeated. Undefeated. Hope springs eternal. I'm referencing Mr. McNeil's T-shirt.
I'm wearing my Minneapolis Millers shirt. And, yes, they probably – even – they've been a defunct team now for a while. They still probably have a better, you know, clutch hitting than the Twins. So I'll just
– actually, they have a better record than the Republican Party.
Wow. That's – we're starting – we're going down there. Okay. That's – we're – okay. We're going to go there.
Where do you want to go?
Trust me. There's a bunch of lesser things I was going to go with. But, no, first of all, let's just go with – your thoughts. Last night was supposed to be this red wave. Yesterday morning, all the news. Major Republicans are geared for major gains, major this. It just never materialized. Don't get me wrong. They picked up the House. They might pick up one seat in the Senate. But overall, nationwide, state houses went to the Democrats. Governorships were won by the Democrats. And the Democrats have kept it close. It definitely was not your traditional midterm election.
No, it was a complete bust. And not just because there had been all of these predictions of tsunamis and, you know, whatever weather analogy you'd like to draw. You and I talked last night on the Twin Cities election coverage as part of this dynamic network you have about, let's just not look at a big wave. It's going to be a squeaker because, for one thing, the Republicans already had so many seats in the House. It did not take that many to flip it. And it's still not, they're not going to get what, 10, 15? I mean, they're going to get the bare minimum. And I just don't see how they get the Senate. It's going to be 50 Republicans, 49 Democrats, and a runoff in Georgia. And I have seen this movie before. So,
well, and let's go with individual races. Let's go to Georgia there. It was pretty clear, I'd say, by about this morning when the results were still coming in, because all of a sudden, you know, Herschel Walker would lead by 0.8, and then Warnock would lead by 0.6. I mean, I said, and I kept looking at the numbers like this is going to go to runoff because neither one of these is going to clear 50.
That's right. You've got a Libertarian who is garnering about 2% of the vote. Now, is that individual going to throw support behind one or the other? Will those voters who were really passionate about supporting the Libertarian, are they just going to throw up their hands and say, I don't want to participate in the runoff? Those are just as likely options as not. The Libertarians, in order, at least in my state, in order to be declared a major party, quote unquote, you have to have 2% in certain races, etc. Well, if that was the goal, will these folks show up if there's not a Libertarian running? So, I mean, I've heard people say, well, you know, libertarians are close to Republicans, and so if Walker picks up the
they voted libertarian, for goodness sakes. The reason why they voted libertarian is they don't like the Republicans.
The whole point is, if your person didn't win, are you going to come out on a special day when that's the only thing that's on the ballot? I mean, they were making all sorts of presumptions the last time there were runoffs in Georgia. Didn't happen. So, I mean, it's going to be just another train wreck, I'm afraid, down there. And if any folks are listening to this program on a web stream or however you do it these days in Georgia, my heart goes out to you folks. You don't know what you're going to get. You thought it was bad 2 years ago. It's worse now. I feel for you. I mean, I would go to another state for about a month if I were you folks.
I will say this. I'm not bringing this up to question anyone's religious faith. I'm going to put that on you. But I want to just point out something. 88% of evangelicals in Georgia voted for Herschel Walker, a clearly flawed candidate under their own bellwether for religious purity. And so it does bring up the question, has that element of the party moved past its original origins of a religious base, and it is just a subsect of the Republican Party in its entirety, and religion really doesn't play a role in it anymore?
If you are going for purity of religious faith and transfer that to politics, you've lost that battle long ago.
Yes.
And frankly, that goes, you know, you hear a lot of folks who say, well, how can you be a strong Catholic and be for abortion, et cetera, et cetera. Okay. One of many factors, all of this, one of many factors. And the one thing you saw coast to coast is that party affiliation really won the day. It didn't matter. I mean, people in the exit polls, they were voting based on party affiliation and not necessarily on whether it was the better candidate or the issues, et cetera, because, by gosh, we need one of our guys or our gals in there. And that's why this turned out the way that it did, quite honestly.
I was the one surprise I had, J.D. Vance winning in Ohio, and not just winning, but winning handily, especially when you looked at down ticket. The Democrats actually did somewhat well in Ohio.
Yeah, but you've got the governor going for reelection at the top of the ticket. That may have been one where coattails did help. There is also perhaps a little Tim Ryan fatigue. Remember, he was going to run against Nancy Pelosi for speaker as a congressman. Then he ran for president. Now he's running for Senate. You know, it's like, okay, thanks. You know, lift your light beer to the camera and just exit stage left.
Fetterman knocks off Oz in Pennsylvania, and that was the result there. 50.5 to 47.1. It wasn't really even close comparatively. Basically, a little less than 200,000 votes separating the two.
I'm not surprised by the outcome. I'm surprised it happened on election night, because we had been conditioned to think it's going to take a long time to count these. The Fetterman campaign had filed a lawsuit to have additional ballots counted. And lo and behold, that was one of the relatively speaking early calls of the night. And so that shows you on the Republican side what $40 million of personal funds will do between the primary and the general election. It'll get you with a Democrat senator.
What's going on in Arizona? Why is it taking so long to get? I mean, they are only at 66% of the votes counted in both the Arizona Senate race, which Kelly is, it looks like he's going to win that. But it is a little bit closer on the governor's race. Any idea why that's taking so much longer over in Arizona?
Wasn't that the one where they didn't have accurate, or they didn't have fresh inkjet cartridges for the printers? I mean, it was something in the category of you had one job. You make sure that the election day, right? You show up one day, check to make sure that you've got paper. That was a problem in some area. Make sure that there's actually ink. If you've ever had an inkjet printer, you know they clog, et cetera. Have a spare cartridge. I don't understand it. There's got to be one bad example every election, and I'm afraid it was Florida in the past. I'm afraid it's going to be Arizona this time.
Well, and I will say one other race in Arizona, just I was specifically paying attention to, and that was the Secretary of State's race because they ran that guy Finchem, who is just he was a guy basically saying, I don't as Secretary of State, I won't count Democratic votes. He did indeed lose, although it was closer than you'd think. 52-48 to Fontes is the winner there for the Democrats in that race. This is something that I think played out. I think MAGA just does not play. It won in 2016. It then became this really obnoxious, in-your-face, blank-your-feelings kind of thing. And in 2018, it did not work. In 2020, it did not work. And in 2022, it did not work. And you, when you're talking about Tim Ryan and you talk about fatigue there, I think that you've gotten a point now where it's clear MAGA is not the winning strategy for Republicans that I think some of them think it is.
It may be in a primary.
Yes. You're right 100% there.
And that's the point. That was the whole thing where Mitch McConnell says we have four candidates. Well, what he meant was it was Trump-endorsed candidates winning primaries and being so far to one side that it's hard to get back to the middle for the general election. And, you know, it's these are all individualistic cases, right? But here is – this is what I don't understand. I do understand it, but here's what I don't understand. It's like the last night, Sunday night or Monday night going into the Tuesday election. Here's Trump at one of these rallies. Yeah. He did one in Florida, right? And he did one in Ohio. He spends a fair amount of time looking at the big screen as they're putting up posts on Twitter about how he fares in a 2024 race. Are you kidding me? I mean, you talk about make it all about yourself and then leaking that he might make an announcement the night before the election, and his big announcement is that he's declaring a date of when he will announce. It's a matter of trying to steal the thunder. A more gracious individual would have pushed the local candidates, let's win in 2022, then we'll worry about 2024. Frankly, it was getting to the point of Trump fatigue, and you're seeing that today by the number of folks who very much agree with President Trump on policy, who are saying he was a big loser last night. He was the big loser because the people he endorsed didn't come through. And of course, he's having none of that. But I think that's the opening that many Republicans are going to have because they've been looking for a way to distance themselves from a 2024 Trump race. Mm-hmm. And they're now able to say, we woefully underperformed expectations in a midterm with a crummy economy. And what's the central theme here? The central theme is Trump not necessarily being on the ballot, but not being able to deliver. So maybe we ought to look at other options for 24.
Well, and I think that this is the interesting point. How do you get him out off the stage? Because as you said, the primaries are MAGA fests. They love them. And that's what you have to be. You have to be the most Trumpiest Trumpy candidate ever. But you saw this across the country when it comes to non-traditional Republican strongholds and suburban voters. The suburban Republicans did not show up. I think that has a lot to do with January 6th. I think that was and abortion. We'll talk more about that in a second. But, you know, it's clear that the MAGA doesn't resonate. How do you get out of this mess if you're the Republicans? Because the reality is, when it comes to the primary, if all of a sudden you're losing because you're trying to not be Trump-like, what's everyone going to do? They're going to run down the Trump road because they want the primary victory. But what, you said this to me a long time ago. You said that the primaries are a sprint to the extremes and the general election is a sprint to the middle. The difference between the modern Republican today from when you told me that back, I think, in the late 90s was – that the far right of the Republican Party grabs onto the back of the shirt of the Republican and stops them from running back to the middle. And that is a curse, which if the Republicans can't figure out a way to get out from underneath of, is going to crush them for many elections to come.
The more extreme a candidate is, and I mean by just political extreme, the harder it is to win because you've got at least a third of the electorate that is not affiliated. And therefore, they're not going to just blindly vote R or D up and down the line. And the thing that you saw last night, and we've talked about this, where the folks who supposedly knew, when you said, well, okay, how many seats will the Republicans get in the House? Well, it could be anywhere from 5 to 40. That's a pretty big swing. All right. I mean, it could be sunny or cloudy. I think you have it covered. You know, I mean, and I understand the reason, because again, there are so many races that were close. Fine, but all the dominoes fell one way, didn't they?
Yeah.
And there are two exceptions. One is the state of Florida. The other is actually the state of Iowa. And, you know, there have been some people I've talked to who discounted some of the results in Iowa, saying, well, it doesn't take much sense to fill out one oval, straight ticket voting. We don't have that anymore. Mm-hmm. And so you had a whole different dynamic going on here, throwing out a 40-year incumbent Democrat attorney general, a 30-year incumbent Democrat state treasurer. It is almost a clean sweep, not only in Congress, but in the state house. And I don't feel like that's Trump so much, because Trump was not a big topic of conversation. I think there are plenty, including the senator with the longest tenure going into the next session, Iowa's Charles Grassley. He just assumed that Mr. Trump stayed at Mar-a-Lago. You can just tell it when they're together.
By the way, yeah, Iowa went all Republican, Minnesota went all Democrat. I look forward to the entire Generation Z of Iowa being in Minnesota soon. I'm saying, sorry, man, I had to say it.
There's- well, it depends. How quickly can we get that wall built up there by Mason City?
Jeff Stock, kind enough to join us. All right, we'll take a break. Come on back. I want to talk about what the Republicans are going to do in the next session, as well as also the Scarlet Letter A, abortion. It was on the ballot. It's the Matt McNeil Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Broadcasting live on WAUK 540 AM 101 FM, The Shaw, Milwaukee, Waukesha. Air Support Radio, 98.3 Oshkosh, 1100 AM WISS in Berlin, as well as also Devil Radio, 92.7 FM in Madison, WTTN, 1580 AM in Columbus, and then the flagship in Minneapolis, St. Paul, AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show. Jeff Stein, kind enough here to join us today. We had five states with abortion bills on there, some basically ensuring abortion was a right in the state constitution, some basically outlawing abortion overall outright, and every one of them, the pro-choice crowd won those votes. Vermont, Kentucky, Michigan, Montana, California. Let's look at Kentucky and Montana. Two Republican states, it won by 5 points in each one of those states. I think the Republicans have got to come to grips with the fact that they're the dog that caught the car, and they overturned Roe v. Wade as they promised they would do, and now they have no idea what to do with this issue.
Well, what has happened is that the public opinion went a little different direction than what they had been lobbying for. And, you know, for years they've been the ones saying, well, you can't have a late-term abortion, abortion at the point of delivery. Well, the opposite is you can't have a complete ban without exceptions either. And so, again, to the point you made in the last segment, you've got these folks at the far extremes of each party, and the policies may work fine as they're sitting around planning to how to win a primary. It's not going to work for governance. I want to share something with you, some numbers.
Okay.
Actual data. Ooh. What do you know, as opposed to just pulling that out of my back pocket?
I lie all the time.
Well, you know, you lefties.
14 sounds good.
Winner, you know. There was a lot of talk. You know, you've talked about, is abortion the top issue? And the polls had indicated not. And the polls still indicate, the exit polls indicate that abortion was not the number one issue. But it tended to negate a lot of the number one issue being inflation and economy. And so there was a pretty strong, because of some of those ballot initiatives. But here's the real stat. Married men, this is a national exit poll. Married men broke Republican by 20 points. Married women broke Republican by 14 points. Okay, so if you're married, you broke Republican. Unmarried men broke Republican by 7 points. Now here's the money stat. Unmarried women broke Democrat by 37 points. What issue do you think unmarried women found to be most important to the point that they broke Democrat by a 37-point margin?
And by the way, that almost completely overrides the break of the rest of that groups. I mean, it really is an amazing stat. And once again, when you look at the suburban vote, because where Republicans in states where Republicans ran into trouble, they ran into trouble in the suburban areas because the suburban Republicans just did not vote. And whether it was MAGA, whether it was furious over January 6th, because I know a lot of conservatives who are this morning saying, I didn't vote because you don't try to overthrow the government when you lose an election, or it was abortion. Needless to say, these are issues. You know, this is, you know, the suburban Republican voter is like an old style Reagan Republican. They are fiscally conservative and socially liberal. And the reality is that you can't just feed them a MAGA candidate or a far right standard on an issue like abortion and expect them to take it. And I think this is a real big sign of trouble ahead for the Republicans.
Oh, absolutely. And to your point, I was looking at those numbers that I just gave you. The unmarried women breaking Democrat almost equaled all of those other categories combined.
Yeah.
And so that really tells you something. And what I want to look at going forward is that a voting block in and of itself? I don't recall that we've ever discussed unmarried women as a voting block. But with success on this issue, is that a split that has longer lasting ramifications going forward?
My prediction, yes, and Gen Z, because Gen Z showed up yesterday. And that is another thing, which is I saw a lot of Republicans saying, what in the world do we do with Gen Z? They're kind of lost because there's this young generation that's very active about voting and they don't vote Republican. And they're kind of concerned about where that's going to go. The last thing I want to bring up for you is this. Republicans are going to win the House. They're not going to have a big majority.
Right.
And, you know, they might have one seat majority in the Senate. The Democrats might get that control of that.
Yeah.
How in the world? I know the Republicans talk a big game about Jim Jordan's going to investigate the FBI and all these things. And Marjorie Taylor Greene's going to impeach Joe Biden on day one. The reality is I'm going to guess there's going to be multiple people who looked at this last election and say, the last thing I want to do right now is get a lot of extremism on my record before I try to run again in 2024.
You don't want to be part of the gang that says, now we're going to give them a taste of their own medicine, because most Americans would rather have inflation under control, the border under control, the health issues. I mean, all of these things. The tit for tat of partisan politics just doesn't resonate with most Americans. And I tell you, I say it's only 50-50 that Kevin McCarthy becomes speaker if the majority is less than 10 votes, because that's a failure. He's the one driving the bus to bring in this big red wave, and I think his very speakership is in question. Here's something else I will tell you. I'm going to lay odds that Ron DeSantis sits out the 2024 race, and if he doesn't, he should. And the reason is you don't want to have a match against Trump. Let Trump and Pompeo and Pence fight it out. Let Trump push forward. And if he succeeds, well, great. And if he doesn't, look who the heir apparent is with Trump policies without the Trump baggage. DeSantis is only 44.
Yeah.
Wouldn't you rather come in 2028 and clean up, because he's time barred. He can only serve another 4 years. So he gets out of office in, what would that be,
26,
right? After the 2026 election, 2027. He'll have nothing to do but pull a Jimmy Carter and spend a lot of time in states like Iowa. And he's in perfect position. Because you can't, I don't know if he can resist that.
He wears a mean thigh-high boot, that's for sure. Okay.
Love those boots.
I do.
Keep going on about the boots.
Who's going to replace McCarthy? Is it Scalise?
Oh, see, that's going to have to be a dark horse, because I think Scalise and Jordan may already be too, well, Jordan's already capitulated to get what he wants. It could really be something random or some name you haven't heard that might be a compromise candidate.
Stefanik, maybe?
Well, you know, I mean, there's a fight for whip already. I mean, Emmert's involved in a fight with somebody else already declaring for whip.
And I guess maybe that is Tom Emmer, because he ran the RCCC. Although, once again, as you said, brushback. He'll get brushback because they didn't win more seats. So, no, Emmer's not going to get it. It will be interesting to see who gets that seat if it's not McCarthy.
Trump. Remember that? Everybody was saying that Trump could be the Speaker of the House.
Oh, God.
There you go. He's the Speaker.
It'd be brilliant. It would be the end, also the end of the Republican Party. Jeff Stein, once again, the Iowa Politics Report, I'll post a little bit later on. Find his books at your favorite book retailer. Jeff, thank you very much for all the time in the last 2 days. We'll talk to you next week. Coming up, Wisconsin folks, you got Devil Radio, Minneapolis, St. Paul. Watch the camera when we come back. Hour two up next. AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It's the Matt McNeil Show. Don't get rid of that music. Get that pot back up here. We need the end. Here he is. Here you go. Getting close. We're getting close. Fantastic. How you doing? Hey, 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 hey. Has anybody thought of sending Kim Crockett a fruit basket? You know? Oh, the crock pot herself went down. I don't know why it took them that long to call that race. I mean, it was actually a wider margin than the Walz race was. Well, Matt McNeil Show, Matt Brett, hour number two here. Hey, we got a lot to talk about this hour. My higher blood pressure, one of those things after just doing a little bit of a dance here. Oh, God. All right. Oh, God. All right. Actually, you know why I'm breathing hard? That pizza we got last night. That was that Detroit style we got. That was,
oh, yeah,
that was,
yeah.
Nice,
that was,
man.
Yeah. That was, yeah, good stuff.
It's reformed within the system and is now moving. Never mind. in case you missed the headline, hey, the Democrats kicked ass last night in Minnesota. And we have a lot to talk about with this. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. Hey, if you would like to spike the football a little bit, give us a call. You know, I'm sorry. 2016, Republicans for 4 years, mega liberal tears, blank your feelings, and then all of a sudden they lost. You can't be right with us. And then the Senate Majority Leader and the Senate caucus for the Republicans in 2020 to basically, because they tricked, well, I don't think they tricked Bach and Tomasoni to switch to the Republican Party so that they could undermine the Democrats. They basically had a big old celebration. Ended up becoming a super spreader event, likely killed off one of their own senators. And then they never even told the Democrats they were sick when they went back to the state capitol afterwards. That's not just belligerent, you know, we're going to celebrate whatever we want. That's just a complete disrespect for human life. And so, no, I don't have any problems. Spike the football away. Hey, how'd that taste there, Jensen? How'd that taste? They called that pretty early. I mean, you were getting your ass kicked. Wow, that must have been embarrassing. I mean, you didn't even get right about an hour and a half into your party? Oh, wow, it's kind of a glum night. Put the champagne away. Just take the champagne. Just put that away. Oh. There are a lot of things we have to talk about. A lot of things we have to talk about. But I want to start off with one reality that the Republicans probably need to accept. Michelle Benson would have won. Or at least would have kept it so close that it wouldn't have been an absolute disaster for the Republicans as it was last night. It was people don't understand, and you rarely see what we saw last night. Now, sure, four of the U.S. House races went to the Republicans, and that's unfortunate. But also, Minnesota 2, well, Minnesota 3, let's go to Minnesota 3 first. Dean Phillips will hold that seat as long as he wants to. This is why I criticized you when you went out there and said you thought that Joe Biden shouldn't run before the election. Now, you could say it today, right now, and no one cares. But you could you basically put all the Democrats on the line. The reason I said that was because you're not going to lose that seat. I think you won by, what, 16, 17 points?
Yeah, like up near 20.
Yeah, 20 or something like that. Dude, man, you didn't have to do that. You were never in jeopardy. You'll hold that seat as long as you want to. I voted for you, though. Yeah, you're my House rep now, so I voted for you. Minnesota 2 is – that's a five-point win. And I understand that we now can look back on it after the fact, after we don't have the media trying to tell us what to think or what to believe, that Tyler Kistner was actually a pretty damn flawed candidate. But, you know, at the same time, that's a five-point win in that district. That district, Minnesota 2, is no longer a toss-up district. Minnesota 2 is a Democratic district. And Angie Craig is the House rep, and she'll probably stay there as long as she wants to as well. There are multiple reasons why the Republicans took it in the trousers yesterday. Number one on that hit parade is Scott Jensen. Now, we here at the radio show have very clearly documented over the entire span of Jensen's run that what he was doing was perfect for winning the Republican nomination, but was a nightmare when it came to the general election. Him running around during 2020 when these bizarro zealots were having these, you know, rallies in parks with 20 people talking about Governor Walz is taking away your rights because they wanted to keep their coffee shop open during a freaking pandemic. And Jensen was running down there. Here I am, Loon Ball Central. You can vote for me. He was an atrocious candidate. An atrocious candidate. Now, was he originally atrocious, or did he become atrocious when he basically realized to win the Republican nomination, he just had to be the most MAGA guy out there? Hard to say. But he was an atrocious candidate. If Michelle Benson was your nominee, not only would she have had a chance at winning that governor's race, but you would have had probably at least, no, I'll say it bluntly, I think the Minnesota Senate would have stayed Republican, the House would have gone Republican, and at least two or three of those other seats would have gone Republican as well. And maybe on an outside lark, Minnesota 2 would have gone Republican, but it didn't. Your number one reason you guys took it in the trousers was because Jensen was a nightmare candidate. Number two, and this, you cannot undersell this, the crockpot, Kim Crockett. Kim Crockett, you had an even more atrocious candidate on your statewide ballot. A woman who, in case anyone missed it, played an anti-Semitic video at the beginning of the GOP convention, to which the GOP, yay, they applauded it. She's made racist statements. She's talked about how handicapped people shouldn't be able to vote. My God, she's horrible. Horrible. And you see, is the 1-2 bunch of Jensen and Crockett, you can say as much as you want, but the reality is it gets to a point where you have to ask the question, why am I considering, you know, voting for a statewide Republican candidate when these two unelectable stooges are on this ballot? One candidate might have been enough to, you know, okay, we'll vote for Schultz. But two definitively drove people to just vote straight Democrat. Number three, something we said when the redistricting map came out. We sat here and we went through the districts. And we came up with a number, I think it was 35. We said 35 districts here are solid blue districts. And that's, I'm no math whiz, but when you need the majority is 34, that means the Democrats have an advantage here to winning the Senate with this new redistricted map. And it was, along with it goes the House. Now, they lost a few seats in the House, but the reality is that new map, because the population center of Minneapolis-St. Paul is just that big. Well, that map works against you, and it's going to make it very, very difficult for the Republican Party to run far-right candidates and win statewide races. And I'll get back to that here in a little bit. Number four, the fourth reason you guys got just took it in the trousers, you screaming, black people, Minneapolis, Minneapolis, black people, Minneapolis, black people, Minneapolis. Now, you probably, I'm paraphrasing, but not by much. Your clear implication that the biggest problem here was black people crime in Minneapolis. That resonates with, trust me, you take a look at the vote totals out in some of these rural districts. Oh, they clearly loved it where there's a lot of racist or racist light. At least people who will tolerate racism. That issue resonated out there. But the second you got closer to the metro area, no, it didn't. It didn't. That was your big bellwether issue. Black people, Minneapolis, Minneapolis, black people. That was your big issue. And all you did was kind of turn off a lot of voters in the suburbs. And number five, and I have seen so many bitter, angry, delicious Republicans screaming about abortion wasn't even on the ballot. It was. You had Republicans in outstate Minnesota screaming about how they're going to pass bans on abortion in the state of Minnesota. You had an attorney general candidate who was on the board of an extremist anti-abortion group. Matt Burke, the lieutenant governor candidate, was a proud anti-abortion zealot who had to be told by a Republican talking head out of the state fair that you cannot expect women to go back to being barefoot and pregnant. You had, at the U.S. level, Republicans already planning to ban abortion nationwide. It was. You cannot take away a person's rights and then expect them to give you a mulligan. You can't. And if you are too stupid because you were too afraid to acknowledge the fact that you caught the car, you were the dog that caught the car, and instead of coming up with some sort of comprehensive plan, you basically either just scream, black people, Minneapolis, or you basically said, you know, we had 50 years where we said we're going to take away your rights. And now that we have, we want you to know we're moderates now. No, you're not. No one could trust you. You were lying. It was clear you were lying. And no one trusted you. And you mix it all together into a lovely ragu. Guess what you get? The Republican Party taking it in the freaking trousers yesterday. Dave is in Minneapolis. Let's get Dave in here before the break. Welcome on in, Dave.
Thank you, Matt. Thanks for taking my call. I'm probably your biggest fan on your brand new radio network.
Thank you.
I wanted to congratulate you on your call yesterday. I couldn't believe that you were making the calls that you did as far as predicting the outcome. And it all comes in Minnesota. And I don't think you took a single exit poll, did you?
I didn't take a single exit poll, but, I mean, I was kind of stunned I got that one so right. And thanks, Dave, and thanks for the kind words. That's very nice of you. What I had said was yesterday, if that governor's race is 7 points or worse, you're starting to look at a number which is going to be incredibly difficult for Republicans lower down the ticket to overcome. And it was about 9:30. I did a thing with Stein down in Iowa. He called me. I became the Minnesota expert, and I came and did a bit on his show down there. And I got back home, and sat down, and I started looking at the numbers, and I kept hitting refresh. And after about 10 minutes, I'm like, this is a really obnoxious spread right now in this governor's race. And I have no doubt that this is going to get closer. But at that point, it was like 22, 23 points. I said, if this is a red wave, where's the red? Seriously, where's the red? And I said, I knew it was going to get – because there was a lot of – you could see the counties. New York Times did a really good thing. They had the counties that as they reported in. And you could see there were a lot of Republican counties out there. But, I mean, you put 40 Republican counties together, you might get the population of Hennepin. And you just were not seeing the numbers. And I said 7 points. It was 7.7. And guess what? Not only did that Walls basically beat Jensen, but I'm not going to include. I mean, Kim Crockett was a freaking nightmare candidate. The Republican Party should just apologize to the state of Minnesota for that candidate being on their ballot. That was just inexcusable. And I knew a lot of Republicans who were so upset with her on the ballot, they voted for Steve Simon. But he was strong enough as a candidate to also help with Keith Ellison, who is the attorney general again, your slam dunk guaranteed steel pipe lock pick. Was Keith Ellison losing? No, he did. He actually won. And Julie Blaha, it's 8,500 votes. But it's 8,500 votes. Julie Blaha won the auditor's race. It's over. Across the board, it's over. More on this to come. And your phone calls, too, if you want to spike some footballs. Don't let me get in the way. Go ahead.
I was going to say, I got one football to spike. Kim Crockett received more votes than Scott Jensen. I was just looking this up.
Wow.
How do you get outdrawn by Kim Crockett?
Jeez. And by the way, shame on every damn one of you that voted for her. Shame on you. Don't give me this, I just believe in Republicans. No, no, no. You should have the guts to say that Michael Broadcorp had, that other Republicans I knew had, which said, you know what, I might vote for Jensen, but there's no way on the planet I'm voting for Kim Crockett. I'm not for anti-Semitism. I'm not for racism. I'm not for just an absolute freaking numbskull who's an election denier being the person in charge of elections. Shame on all of you. Shame on all of you. It's disgusting that you voted for her. She should have gotten zero. Actually, probably could have gotten negative if that was even possible. But no, you guys, I got to vote for her. Didn't I say it? I said that too. Regardless, you're going to be a shocking amount of people that are going to vote for her. And there were. Thankfully, far more people realize Steve Simon is the best damn Secretary of State in the country. 952-946-6205. Let's take that break. Come on back. More to get to and your phone calls. It's the Matt McNeil Show on AM 950. AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show, 952-946-6205. Jeff is in Cambridge. Let's get him on in here. Welcome on in, Jeff.
Yeah, I got two quick comments. One, the Kim Crockett-Steve Simon race. If the election system is as compromised as she says it is, she should spend all her money to do a recount.
Oh, yes.
Because after all, she's going to make up 200,000 votes, right?
It will, first of all, Jeff, won't it be an exciting moment for her when she discovers, oh, what do you mean? There actually are paper ballots. Oh, okay.
The other thing real quick, I heard a report from like AP News or something earlier on your station today, probably during Stephanie's show. And they talked about the top two things were inflation and, the danger that the Republicans show to our democracy. And they didn't mention abortion, and I think that is really shoddy reporting, because I think abortion was a very big issue, especially for the Gen Zers.
Well, and Jeff, thank you very much. I appreciate the phone call. No, it was. And it's what's interesting is this, I think we have to call out Star Tribune, the new TV stations in town, frankly, NPR. I think you have to call out all these news outlets, because there was a definitive narrative that was being pushed here. And I lost it a few weeks back when they had the critical of Keith Ellison story, where the entire the conversation was based on an if he would have done this, he might have found out, he's guilty because of an if. It's like, okay, what are you doing here? Are you trying to basically put your fingers on the scales here and help out the Republicans? I talked about how CNN, I talked last hour about CNN back in August, where they said, well, now abortion's on the back burner, because you said it was. It wasn't ever on the back burner. That you took away people's rights. And last night, it was interesting to watch some of these TV guys all of a sudden say, wow, abortion really is an issue that's held on strong as far as a deciding factor here. And I want to just say for the record, we've been saying this. I've done my own research. I've looked at my own numbers. I have gone out there and seen this. And it was clear from the election cycles, all these special elections and elections that happened since the overturning of Roe v. Wade, that the Democratic base was very motivated after the overturning of Roe v. Wade, specifically for that issue. And I don't know if you guys, I don't know if the news media was just trying to do their billing department a favor and trying to keep these races close so Republican dollars came pouring into the media outlet or what. But the reality is you guys really pushed a freaking narrative. And you need to be called out for that because that wasn't fair. You guys, I mean, this morning is stunning upset. Well, wasn't that stunning if you saw where, if you just paid attention to the numbers? If you were only getting fed Republican talking points and Republican polls, yeah, I imagine it was a little bit stunning. But just because you believe the media, press media that you have given yourselves, doesn't mean that's reality. And none of the numbers I was looking at are exactly hidden or secret. It's not like I'm running into some ancient old pyramid lair trying to run some, you know, caverns to try to find these clues. No. They were out there very clear. And it just is you guys because, and whether it was because you were intentionally played by the Republicans or because you were willingly played by the, willingly played, either you were tricked or you willingly went around along with them, you guys were the ones that put out the narrative. And they can't help themselves. Today, this morning, I heard a headline, Democrats after winning need to be careful about what they wish for. What? How about this one from AP? Amid midterm show of Democratic strength, warnings for Biden. What the hell, man? Is that, has anyone ever seen a Republican story about Republicans the day after election and day after they had a big day saying, boy, oh boy, Republicans have to be careful? Or is it Republicans have a clear mandate and plan on using it? The news media failed us. And all of them are like, where did this come from? I am a trained freaking chimp. I am a radio host. I babble in a room by myself for 2 hours every day. And I managed to find the numbers that kept showing me this is not going to be a red wave, that this was actually going to be a blue wave. And I even called it last night. So don't give me this. If I can get the right answer, you guys with your freaking journalism degrees and your pedigrees, you should have done a little bit better of a damn job. So don't look at me and curse me out because I'm calling you out for your bullcrap. Someone has to. And you guys failed us because all you did was basically get dragged around by the Republican Party, and it shows. Gee willikers, golly gosh, I guess people are upset about abortion. Well, this was a big win. It was, wasn't it? But I'm sure you'll find some way to diminish the Democrats' power in the state of Minnesota soon enough. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. We'll take a break. Come on back. I got a lot more to get to because, you know what? The Republicans are in big freaking trouble. And I'll explain that here in a second, just going through numbers. It is the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950. AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota, the Matt McNeil Show. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. So... by the way, Star Tribune, funny, they basically have a DFLers say that the reason why things have been changing here is, because people are upset about the attempted overthrow of the government and abortion. Dude, Brett, you've filled in for me, dude. How long have you and I been saying, well, I think the January 6th riots and abortion are going to be the pretty much, you know, major deciding factors in this election?
Yeah, you don't exactly need like a database and a compass to figure that out.
We're not that smart. Okay. Let's just, we are not that smart. I've had conversations with us. I'm not impressed. We are just not. If we can see this, if the two blind pigs can find the truffles every once in a while, then why the hell was the news media? I mean, there's the obvious thing, is that they basically were, you know, whether it's because their owners are Republicans or because they wanted the Republican dollars, they pushed a Republican narrative. That would probably be my guess. But the reality is you look like a bunch of freaking idiots. That's not me. I look like a freaking genius. I just spent, by the way, I spent 5 minutes dancing into a camera. I don't look that good, man. I look like a dried apple creature, man. It's not a good look. Yeah. Ugh. Like an after scene in... No, I don't know. I'm not even going to bring up that movie. All right. 952-946-6205. Steve is in Minneapolis. He wanted to chime in. Welcome on in, Steve.
Hey, bud.
Hey.
I just want to tell you, you got one vowel wrong. It's not crockpot, it's crackpot.
Crackpot. I see what you're doing there. I see what you're doing.
Yeah. And I'm going to take you back to Easter of this year, where it wasn't the onion, but somebody like that went, Jesus Christ rises from the dead. How this is bad for Biden.
That's like, thanks, Steve. I appreciate the phone call. 952-946-6205. I think still the best onion headline was... the best onion headline ever was when George W. Bush won the presidency. Our long national nightmare of peace and prosperity is finally over. That was a good one. Oh. All right. So I want to take some time. Now, I mentioned before that the Star Tribune all of a sudden discovered, guess what? Apparently the voters were motivated by January 6th and abortion. Oh, wow. Like I said, all right. Welcome to the party, pal. All right, I want to look at this map here because the Star Tribune did put out a map which goes through the individual districts, and this is particularly where Walz got his votes. And it is a very interesting map to look at because and what I'm going to lay out here in the next few minutes is that the Republicans are in a really big problem zone right now when it comes to trying to win a statewide race. The solid blue goes well out into Shakopee, into Carver, Orono, Medina. Medina went blue. Coon Rapids, Circle Pines, Hugo. Dear Lord, Oak Park Heights. So much blue on the east side of town, man. Hastings went blue. We did, and I mentioned this earlier. We did the redistricted map. You take a look at where the House and Senate seats lie in this alone. To win the Senate, you need 34 seats. This is like 32 right here. And it's a lot of blue. You go on out there in Northfield. Boy, Northfield is a deep blue. Boy, that is a liberal town, man. My kind of town. Hi, Northfield. Shout out to my home dogs in North. That'd be St. Olaf. St. Olaf. Yeah. How you doing? Rochester blue here. I've said this before. There is a change, as people say, once you get in outstate Minnesota, that it's all conservatives. No, not necessarily. Go down the river on the southeast side of the state. Red Wing, Wabasha, Winona, La Crescent, all of them blue. All of them went blue. Austin, a great little blue spot down there. Albert Lea, fairly blue. Mankato, very blue. St. Peter as well, very blue. By the way, you also, one of the things that's really cool about this map, you can see where every one of the Native American reservations is because there are these blue spots up in the North Country where the Native American vote was. What you do also see here is this. You see this bright red out in the western part of the state. You know, outside of, you know, Morris was a little blue, and of course Moorhead goes fairly blue. And there's one or two other little spots, but for the most part, it's very, very – the town of Kennedy went very blue. All right, that's interesting. But over the most part, you get a lot of red out there. Here is – you know, you've got some very red districts. That is the area where the Minnesota GOP picks their candidates. Not the suburban districts. No, this is all an evolution. The minute I've talked about George H.W. Bush, when Ralph Reed came in the door in 1992 and offered his services. And he said, I will get you the most loyal foot soldiers ever for a presidential campaign in 1992 to George H.W. Bush. All you have to do is give us a seat at the table and help to make decisions. And the Republican administration at that point said, oh, sweet Jesus, do not let that guy in the door. It will be a nightmare for us, and it will be the eventual end of the Republican Party if you do. Flash forward to 2004. The Republicans, after basically squandering the goodwill after 9/11, realized they'd lost a lot of their base. So to make up for the blue-collar workers who had returned back to the DFL side of things, they went out and got the people that were never supposed to be allowed into a campaign. The extremist far-right Christians, the militia guys out on freaking compounds, biker gangs, you know, the anti-government zealots. And they welcomed them in because Dick Cheney and Karl Rove needed foot soldiers. They realized this is just one more term for them. We don't really care what we saddle the Republican Party with after that. And the rest is history. It was almost immediate the effect of the extremist part of that party being welcomed in and being able to make decisions. 2008, instead of going with Tim Pawlenty as the vice presidential candidate, John McCain was saddled with an absolute dingbat of a vice presidential candidate in Sarah Palin. Immediately after that, people were screaming about birth certificates and carrying – people were carrying their birth certificate into public hearings and holding it up and saying, where's his birth certificate? Like anyone has ever said, well, here's my birth certificate right here. I carry it in my wallet. No one does that. And even when people – and you knew this was something different – when people were coming out and saying, well, here it is. I have seen the birth certificate. It's right here. There you go. And they're like, you're lying, because that was the beginning. It was no longer reality. It was the narrative they wanted to believe. And that snowball started rolling downhill and eventually got to Trump. And Trump – horrible human being, but he knew he was the fat, bloated, orange carcass of a St. Patrick who played his flute for the freaking snakes in the Republican Party. And instead of driving them out of Ireland, he basically said, come here, big fellas. You're snaky, snaky, snaky. Who wants to vote for Donnie T? That is a weird party, man. I have got to stop sniffing glue. I got to stop sniffing
glue. That is
glue.
One weird image in my head, too. If I, just...
I don't know. Ireland's like, whoa, whoa, whoa. What are you bringing us in here for? No, 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 no. Leave us out of here. Sorry. Sorry. To all my Irish friends, I apologize. My bad. Anyway. Alan, my friend Alan, who's over in Ireland right now, is probably rolling on that one. Anyway. He basically knew how to play these people, and he got them to go in a single motion. He validated them. He was, you know, the rest of the Republican Party, Mitt Romney and you know, the leadership, they didn't want to acknowledge this side, but Trump did. And when he did that, they weren't going to ever turn that off. And these are people who just sit there and are bitter and angry in the world and want to blame other people's for their own decision. They could leave, go someplace else, find a better life. Instead, they sit there and they bitch and moan about everyone else who leaves. They sit there on Facebook and look at the people that they, well, I could have married her, but she's married over there now, and I guess I'm just here alone. People that resent their lives and their life choices. And instead of actually wanting to go on out there and fix their lives, Trump gave them the option of just blaming their victim du jour. Black people, Mexicans, Jewish people, gay people, women, liberals, and they loved it. It was the validation these losers were looking for. And they just gobbled it up. And now you've got this situation of where we're at today. And what we saw play out yesterday is a huge problem for the Republican Party of Minnesota. The people who choose your nominees for statewide races are that lunatic fringe who's been validated out in the extremes. And they do not want moderates. They like the idea of trying to make those people suffer I have a job and a marriage and a life, and I hate it. So everyone else has to suffer for that. You know, that's who they are. And by the way, I don't think I could explain this freaking better, actually, if you want to know the truth. That is who these people are. They want vengeance. They want to see you suffer to make themselves feel better because they are losers. And instead of looking in a mirror and trying to fix their own problems, they basically try to take it out on everyone else. And it allows them to cultivate that worst of the side of their id, the racism, the bigotry, the anti-Semitism, the homophobia, the Islamophobia. And look at what we just had as an election. What was the entire Republican mantra? Black people, Minneapolis, Minneapolis, black people, Minneapolis. Have any of these people who have been in these Republican districts, who have voted Republican for over a generation, who have not gotten any freaking help from the Republicans, everyone said, well, God, those guys haven't really helped me at all. Those guys kind of suck. Maybe I should vote Democrat. Nope. Because for them, voting Democrat or voting for a moderate or voting for someone who's going to work with the other side is an admission that they were wrong. And this is the hill they're going to die on. So if you're a Republican, you just realize, you just got an example that you can't win with hate. You just cannot win with hate. And you tried it and you ran it and they ran it over and over again and you lost. But the problem is, like I said, Michelle Benson would have, I think she would have actually beaten Tim Walz. And would have taken a lot of Republicans along with her. But you never gave her a chance because she's not this extremist far right. And until you guys can figure out how to basically quell that side of your party, good luck. Good luck. The map doesn't work for you, so you have to have someone who's going to win the suburbs. Got news for you. MAGA does not play in the suburbs. January 6th rioters do not play in the suburbs. Anti-abortion zealots do not play in the suburbs. And you cannot win a statewide race in Minnesota without the freaking suburbs. So continue down this path of destruction, you fools. And I will giddily and joyfully dance on the election results every single freaking time. Good luck. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. Take a break. Come on back. It's the Matt McNeil Show on AM 950. AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It's the Matt McNeil Show. Brett just brought up a very valid point about when we look towards 2024 and the next statewide election. What's the race that we're going
to
look at?
Yeah, so the only statewide race we're going to have is going to be against Amy Klobuchar. So,
Amy Klobuchar. They called that race against Neuberger. Remember that?
Yeah.
Was it 4 years ago? They called that race at 8:04. Oh, 8:02. 8:02. We weren't even back out of the news break. We came back that night laughing because we could not believe they called it that quickly.
I mean, who are they going to run in 2024? They're going to be tempted to nominate Matt Burke or Mike Lindell or someone else, and they'll lose again.
I've watched as fascinated as Michelle Tafoya has basically tried to enter into the Republican realm, and I think she wants to try to take on Klobuchar. Good luck. But let's be honest. She has no chance at winning the nomination. She has no chance. Have you seen the people that are nominating? They don't want people that are middle of the road, moderate Republicans. They want the most far right extreme of MAGA guys possible, and they do not want you ever moving back towards the middle. So, yeah, I'm not sure exactly where you're going to go there. I find it funny. The Republicans are having a temper tantrum right now. As the term is, it's a very Principal Skinner energy from The Simpsons. Am I so out of touch? No, it's the children who are wrong. That sort of thing. I love this one tweet. Congratulations, Minnesota voters. Enjoy heating your houses with abortions this winter. Oh, poor little boo-boo kitty got his feelings hurt. Boo-boo kitty. Tavoya was initially out. I mean, the common one you're having is that people like free stuff. People like free stuff. The Democrats are like free stuff. No one wants to work anymore. In a country with the unemployment rate at record low levels, these people, just people want free stuff. Okay. And by the way, I also got a nice little smack back on that absolute, delightful cuddle kitten we know as Jeremy Munson. Munson went out there and tweeting, Minnesota is the new California for those who like bad weather. Nice way to talk about your state. Gee, it's a miracle you lost the Minnesota first race, you know, that primary. This is what I said is, you're more than welcome to leave and take your temper tantrum with you. By the way, Jeremy Munson was the guy. Wasn't he the guy that suggested like the western two-thirds of the counties of the state go join South Dakota? And we did the mathematical computation on this, and it would mean an immediate, massive influx of funds. Because right now, the Twin Cities counties are basically having to supply the outstate counties with their funding. They are a bunch of basically welfare counties out there that basically suck on the teat of the Twin City taxpayer dollar. And if without us, they would end up having to have draconian cuts across the board to all their services, which would happen if they joined North Dakota or South Dakota, because they're not about to open up the checkbook for you. But no, seriously. Off you go. Bye. We'll have like the richest state in the nation up here, and you guys will be sitting there acting like your road's getting repaired every 50 years is something good. Let me explain something to the Republicans that want to sit there and say about free stuff. No. You have created this. This is your monster. Since Reagan, you have all out put an assault on wealthy people paying taxes. And whereas we might have had a discussion back in the 1980s about what was a fair tax rate for people, you guys couldn't stop yourself. You've basically, through deductions and loopholes, been able to get taxes for wealthy corporations and individuals down to bare minimums, if anything. And on top of that, you give them what you call tax breaks, which is really just borrowing a bunch of money from China, throwing it at wealthy people, and then telling the middle and lower class you have to pay that back. You are confusing the fact that after years of conservative economic policy, where you've cut services, cut benefits, raised our taxes on the middle and lower class so you can give wealthy people more tax breaks while cutting schools and healthcare and the environment and transportation, that, yeah, you've created a situation where if the government comes on out and says, you know what, maybe we should cut back on the cost of college. Sounds like a great idea. Maybe we should fund universal preschool for kids. Maybe we should make it to where you can get around town without a car, in either light rail or high speed rail. Sounds great. And that's not because these people don't want to work. It's because you've taken so much away from them without ever returning anything to them, because you keep insisting the trickle-down economics is trickling down to you. You'll eventually get it. No, it doesn't work. And so they will gladly vote Democrat because you are not on their side. I'm sorry, someone has to explain it to you, but you know, instead of having your little temper tantrums on air, online here, screaming about how those Democrats are bad, maybe you should take some time, look in the mirror, and realize, God, our policies suck. Because they do. Devil Radio up next. Native Roots Radio coming up in the 6th. Have a great one. We're back tomorrow. Until then, see ya.